I shouldn't say anything else. Michael Jensen has said everything about deacons. Maybe, and also they have gone through the training and they have been inducted already. So what am I doing here? So, and because verse 10 said they must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. Well, they have been tested and nothing against them, and so they have been inducted into the office, and now they are off to serve. So maybe what I want to do, maybe I'll just go back and just say things that I feel like I have to say directly to our deacons. I hope all our deacons are listening to me. You are, that would be really good to hear that. So today the deacons really have been commissioned by the church, and I hope that they understood their role clearly, what it means to be a deacon and what are their tasks. Well, we have heard Michael saying, and I'm quoting him, quotation marks, those who teach English, they are there to show God's kindness. And so that was what he said. And then I followed this with the questions. How about if they are not kind? how can they go about showing God's kindness to God's people? Because this is God's heart, and the apostles themselves, they didn't invent this ministry. They were people saved by grace. And you know the ministry of deacons emerged in chapter 6. That is the institutions of diaconal ministry. That is the foundation and has become part of the order of the church. It's one of the offices that have been through history instrumentals together with the apostolic proclamation of the word that there was conquering the world. That was the tools that God really laid aside, and an office that God has put there for God's people to pick up all the way until Christ returns. It is very important. It's annexed to the ministry of the elders and the preachers. You need to remember that that was the task of the apostles themselves, those who were proclaiming the word of God and sharing God's goodness. Our Lord Jesus Christ preached the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then he asked for the food to come from heaven, real to provide the needs of those who were following him. For God is God who provides for the need of his own people. Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides. Jehovah Rapha, God who heals. And our gathering to God is to experience the glory and the power of God. This is what caused us to be really unique and to be privileged to be the envious of the whole world. Because we have a God who loves us so much. And to the extent that he would send his own son to the cross of Calvary, that there will be nothing to stand between us and him. That is why we are so privileged. Just I have never met a Christian who would not celebrate this privilege. And I have never met a Christian who would not want to pour his heart and his life for the glory of Christ in every aspect. And that is why if the church is to die in the West or wherever it might be found, is maybe partly the ministry of deacons is neglected. They go together together. They go together because we carry the heart of our Savior Jesus Christ, who went around doing good, who went around being drawn to the needy, to the poor. And maybe one of the greatest problems I have experienced in this country for 23 years is this sophistication, this great divide between the poor and the rich. Even the poor in the church, we think like they, it is their mistake, they shouldn't be poor. When we should be busy reflecting the heart of our Savior, regardless of reasons why people are poor. They were always like that. And God never said why they are poor. His task was always to show them that he is their God. And he cares for them so much. And he would do anything to bless them. So that was the thing. Chapter 6 already. I've said it to you. The deacon, the apostles were very busy. And they said, no, we should not neglect the ministry of the word. God has also other people. Let us raise up people full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That is Acts chapter 6. And I preached from it three times. And I hope this will be my last time to preach from this text until we have a new wave of deacons to be in to be ordained into the ministry. So this is the background. The background was the fact that the apostles were very busy. They said it's not right for us to neglect the ministry of the word. Let us raise up men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is why that was the case. And not only that, this also ministry has been affirmed by the apostles and has been always part of their ministry that they really care about. Hear this in Philippians chapter 1. When Apostle Paul was writing to the Philippians, what did he say? He wrote to this group as well. He mentioned them. He says this, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers, that is the elders, Episcopalians, Episcopals, and deacons. So they were leaders. So the letter was going to them so that the church of God is healthy, is strong. And so these were leaders. They are not just only people serving. It's a leadership. It's very important. In other traditions, especially like Catholic Church, and I think I got in the papers that were produced at the assembly, I brought it with me. Bear with me. So there was a lengthy talk about diaconal ministry as very important, as coming back from the early church and church through history. They have really taken it up seriously. So in other traditions, like the Catholic Church, they ordain them sometimes in the Roman Catholic Church, in which deacons receive the sacraments of holy orders from a bishop and are ordained not to the ministerial priesthood, but to the ministry of service. Through ordinations, the deacon is confirmed to Christ, who came to serve, not to be served. In the Latin Church, deacons may baptize, proclaim the gospel, preach the homily. They dedicate themselves to charitable endeavors, which was their ministerial role in New Testament times. So that was Catholic tradition. And the reformers, and we call ourselves reformed tradition, isn't it? The reformers, they didn't invent something new. All that they did, they were taking us back to the Bible. That is why to be reformed is to be a person who is just really holding fast to the teaching of the word. And so just to the word of God, so that our practices are not out of our inventions. And so if we do it that way, we will receive the blessings. We will receive the blessing from God. And so the reformers themselves did not invent the office of deacons, which had existed in the church alongside those of elders or bishops and priests from earliest times. Rather, they moved to restore it to its early role in the church, for the office of deacon includes many roles beside that of caring for the needy. So here we see, even at our assembly, there was a lengthy talks about deacons. And there are talks that they are going to revise the course, the curriculum. They have a curriculum that they are going to revisit again and again. And I think maybe in Australia, it's changing. And it's changing so much. The environment, the lives in Australia is changing. And so we realize that we are to have a healthy church. We have to have a healthy church in order to witness. And so that is why leaders have recognized, and theologians, that we are really to revisit our practices as a church. What are we doing? And how, if we do it well, and then we will be able to stand. That is why people there stand. So there was a lengthy talk about the diaconal ministry. It is a very important ministry. And the apostles themselves, they went on to really take this seriously. Even in Romans 16, verse 1, the same thing, Paul says that. So now, you have heard me. This is what I want to affirm, that is a very important ministry, and our deacons are going to take it seriously. And also the Reformed Baptists, Southern Baptists in America, they they have a different approach to this ministry as well. And the secretary of the of deacons is a very important role. They say he mediates between the pastor and the congregations. And so a person like that needs to be like Stephen and Philip. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they can just like really help the pastor to reconcile with the congregation if there are differences. And so it's not really something people should really approach lightly. It's a very serious ministry. And also our society is becoming more multicultural. And so you need to be a person who cross barriers, who can cross barriers, who will not gravitate only around your own people. Because that was the issue when the complaints, because apostles, they didn't want a church where people are grumbling, complained. You see, because what was happening, the church, when it was emerging, the church was being persecuted in chapter 4, isn't it? And then they went to chapter 5, and the apostle, they faced that by praying. And then by boldness, they said, we will not be silent. They prayed, they went on, and they were bold. And then they were not defeated. And then also in chapter 5, the corruption, you know, lies. Sapphira and Hananias, or Hanania, they were just trying to be wicked. And so there shouldn't be wickedness in the church, because the church that was moving to challenge the world, was from Jerusalem, Judea, and to the entire of the world. Well, the ministry of the church is not finished, isn't it? We are tasked with the proclamation of the gospel. It's still the same. We need that if we are ever going to be like that. So there was a complaint that there was racism in the church. I call it tribalism in Africa, and the English-speaking world is racism. So shouldn't be like that. I give you one example how you should feel about everybody. On Wednesday, I went to buy some food for my children, and there were two white policemen, very tall. I think one of them was a Scottish, maybe the other one as well. And I was just sitting there. I said, how am I going to strike a conversation with these people to witness to them about Jesus Christ? And then I look at the Apache police, and then I turn to them. I say, hi. I said, the police, and I said, police, in Arabic is police. Some of you speak Arabic. It's police. Police. I said, I wonder where the origin of the word comes from. And then this tall guy said, oh, I know it in Scottish, it's maybe Polish. Police. And then we started to chat. And then he said to me, this man said, how long have you been to Australia? I said, 23 years. And he said, you know, all Australians, they say this always. Do you like it? This is what they ask you. maybe they don't like it, but they want to know whether other people like living in Australia. I said, well, look, when I came 23 years ago, it was a Christian country. This is what I said to this policeman. But now it is not. People have turned their back against God and against the gospel. And this tall man said, yes, people have just really departed from the Christian faith. And also people are very angry. People are very angry. I said, yes. And I think that is making even your task even harder. He said, yes, truly. And they were just so happy. And I said to them as they were walking out, I want to assure you my prayers and my love. And they were really melted. They appreciated that. And they walked out with their food. You as a deacon, I was different. I didn't look like them. But my heart was just really for them. I do love them. And it's not just from me. It's the love of Christ. Because the reason I wanted to talk to them is because I want to make sure that they can honor Christ. And it was obvious that these two men, they have faith of some kind. And so you as a deacon, whenever you rise to do your ministry, you need to remember that you are representing Christ. You are serving Christ. Because here, let me go to the text briefly, and because I don't have, I just 5 minutes and I just wrap it up. Or 6 minutes. They may go 7 minutes. Well, you see that the trustworthy words that Apostle Paul was saying, he said, here is a trustworthy saying. When he says this, he says it's a trustworthy saying and deserve full acceptance. He said that in chapter 1, verse 15. That is what he says as well. He said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So if you believe in that, if you believe this, you have eternal life. And Apostle Paul is saying the same thing. He says, this is a trustworthy saying. If anyone desires to be a deacon or elder, he desires a noble task. He desires a noble work. If you put your heart to serve as a deacon, it's a trustworthy. You need to accept this and you need to praise God for this because this is the word of God. This is the divine word of God. When I was at the assembly, they said a guy was declared to be a heretic in the church because that guy, he was like promoting different views within the church. And so he was, I don't want to get into details, he was like trying to explain something. And he said, Apostle Paul got it wrong. And when the men who were there, who had high view of the scriptures, they said, there is something here. There is heresy there. And so now they gather together to bring a charge against this man. Because Paul got it right, wrong, that means the scripture is not trustworthy. And that was disastrous. And those men under God, they moved and they really brought that man to the court of the church. And they went through the process of really causing him to be stood aside. Because that was going to be a disaster. Well, if we have a deacon who is not accepting a trustworthy saying that is here, they can't serve as deacons, isn't it? But if they have that, but I pray that the process was right, because those who have nominated them, they saw in them the qualities, the qualification that I'm not going to really explain. I hope you, when you were electing the deacons, you have gone through the qualification they should have, isn't it? Or how do you go about raising up someone? As a congregation, I think there is a witness of the Holy Spirit to say that. Let me go through them quickly so that you know. Deacon likewise are to be men worthy of respect. That is what we were going to see in them. Worthy of respect. That means men of dignity, complete honesty. Complete honesty. We say honesty, honesty, huh? You say honesty, isn't it? Yeah. Complete. Not just part. People who will be honest because they are serving the Lord God who sees the heart. And also they are compassionate. They are driven by the love of God and compassion for the poor. So they have, this is what they say. So they must be, and I trust because they have been ordained already, but I'm just telling you what people have tested in them. And also sincere, not indulging in much wine. Well, not indulging that addiction. Addiction, if you are addicted to someone, you will not give your time to something else. You are addicted to whatever you have devoted your life into. Every 6 p.m., that is your routine. So you go to where you want to go. So you cannot attend to the need of a person at that time. You are addicted to wine. And also your mind will not be sober. That is why a man who has been enlisted to serve God should not really be found as indulging in much wine. And not pursuing dishonest gain, because you remember money are involved. You may want to go and do some business with the money. Maybe you want more interest in the banks today, so you delay distribution of money. You need more interest. No, we are not to do that. We are not here to have more profits. We are here to serve. And whatever God's people have contributed to the ministry, to this ministry, are to go so that people have more heart to give more. Do you know one of the contention I have with people? I say always, people have a lot of money. People have a lot of money. But the problem is, like, if we don't have the right attitude and the freedom and heart, well, we cannot use our money even well to serve God. We cannot. So money is not always the problem. Heart is the problem. We should not be looking for more money. We should be looking for more love in our hearts. Because love in our heart will generate money, isn't it? Our dedication to God's ministry will cause God to move and open the windows of heaven. I cannot forget when Art came first into this country, when he shared with me that in his ministry, a Sudanese man from Singapore paid for their rent for 8 years. For 8 years, this man randomly just praying. And because this man was praying over there, because there is a God who sees the need of these young people, he moved the heart of this man. What a grace. So we need to live in such a way that we will be moved. And you don't come and just look to your pastor first and say whether I should do this or not. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You move as the Holy Spirit moves you. Because actually what happens if you do that, and then you are endangering the blessing that God is going to give you. Because this is what happens. A deacon, by doing this, this is what it says, Paul says. He said, if I delay, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth, beyond all questions, the mystery of all godliness. This is what he says, because he says, even a deacon himself, those who have served well, gain excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. This is the blessings you will receive as a deacon. You gain that. Because you have been reflecting his heart. This is for your own benefit, for your own blessings as a deacon. You see, you gain that standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what happened with Stephen and Philip. You see, they were mighty men of God. These are my favorite characters in the Bible. Simply because Philip preached to a Sudanese man, the Ethiopian eunuch. He was carried by the Holy Spirit. And actually, in our assembly, the guy who gave the exposition, it was a Chinese pastor, Eugene. And now his messages have been circulated across the church. He preached about the Ethiopian eunuch, saying that the church is not Western, it's not Asian, it's really international. So this is what you are going to gain and to get as a believer. As a deacon. So a deacon must be honest. They must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith with a clear conscience. A clear conscience. How can I explain clear conscience? The opposite is chapter 4, verse 1. You got that. Clear conscience. The Spirit clearly said that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teaching comes through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. A conscience that is seared. A clear conscience is a conscience that is right with God and feels the needs of the needy. That is a clear conscience. A conscience that holds fast to the trustworthiness of the word of God. That is a conscience that will not contradict what the Lord God is saying. Will not just try to be a philosopher and try to rationalize this. And maybe you come up and you say, Paul got it wrong. And to get yourself out of the church. So here the Bible says a clear conscience. As the love of God issues from a clear conscience. So everything must be clear before God. Must be clear. I like what is coming next. Where does it say that there should be double tongue? Yeah, the first part. Because it says likewise, isn't it? Elders, likewise. Deacons, likewise. Yeah. Double tongue, double in speech, saying one thing with one person and another with the another. With the intent to deceive and to really to stop the blessings to flow. And even among deacons, someone would want to have strong views. No one should have his strong views in that ministry. Is to seek the mind of Christ, and Christ never got his strong views against someone. He calls you to repentance, or he loves you, and then he leaves you to decide, but never strong views. Holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience is very important. It's very important. Well, how shall I wrap it up? And just because really much not to be said here. Well, what I want to say and to press upon your heart, that the health of the church and the witness of our local church here depends solely on whether our deacons are going to carry on their task in a good way. And this is a good opportunity today for the deacons to see their role as very important as the ministry of the elders themselves. Because this ministry, together with the proclamation of the word of God, we will have influence in the community in which we live. You have heard Michael Jensen saying that the first thing is to attend to the needs of our local people, and then we go beyond, because this, we are here to witness, we are here to serve others, we are here to proclaim the gospel, we are here to call people to repentance and to show them kindness and to show them love. That was what Jesus came to do, to save the lost, because we were dead. That is why he became our rescuer. He came to rescue us from the dominion of Satan. And now we have to have the same heart, to be willing to go out also to rescue others through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to share our resources that he has given us with these people. And as I said, resources are just plenty. The problem is not the resources. The problem is the heart and the trustworthiness, our holding fast to the trustworthiness of the word of our God. And so here is the word of God is at the stake. It's not anything else. If we truly believe this, that the office of deacons has been instituted so that the witness will be strong and that we will defeat Satan, then we are to take it seriously. And that is why even I don't want to go into the wife. Maybe we had maybe two wives here. The rest were singles, you see. But even the wives also, they are called to support their husbands in those roles, and not really to bring diverse opinions, but so they have to submit to that. That is what it says. A deacon must be husband of one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served will gain this. That is what it says. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. That these are the wives of the deacons. And so that the ministry of God is not hindered. Well, today we have inducted them already. Let us just pray for our deacons and to hold them really in our prayers, that they are part of the weapons that God has raised up in our local church to proclaim the gospel. And this ministry is very important. And now people in our denomination, we are going to revise the curriculum that is being used, and is going to be revised every year, because people have recognized the importance of the office of deacons. Well, if anyone desires to be a deacon, he desires a noble task. Let us pray.